Chapter 8. Now Judah the Maccabee and his companions stealthily infiltrated the villages, summoned their kinsmen, and enlisted those who remained faithful to Judaism. So they gathered together about 6,000 men. And they invoked the Lord to look kindly upon his people, who were being oppressed on all sides, but to have pity upon the inner sanctum, which was profaned by the impious men, but to also have mercy upon the city, which was being destroyed and about to be leveled to the ground, and to listen to all the blood which cried out to him, but to also remember the lawless destruction of unsinful infants and the revilements uttered against his name, and to hate the wickedness. Now, as soon as the Maccabee organized his band of soldiers, the foreign nations were unable to withstand him, for the Lord's anger had now changed to mercy. But also coming unexpectedly upon cities and villages, he would set them on fire. And he captured strategic positions, putting to flight not a few of their enemies. He found the knights especially advantageous for such attacks, and the talk of his good manliness soon spread everywhere. Now when Philippos saw that Judah was gaining ground little by little, and that his successful advances were becoming more frequent, he wrote to Ptolemaios, general of Celesyria in Phoenicia, to come to the aid of the king's affairs. Now Ptolemaios promptly selected Nicanor, son of Patroclus, one of his principal friends, and sent him at the head of no fewer than 20,000 men of various nations to wipe out the entire race of the land of Judah. But with him, he also associated Gorgias, a general and man well versed in military service. Now Nicanor resolved to raise the 2,000 talents of tribute owed by the king to the Romans by selling captured Judeans into slavery. Now he immediately sent word to the coastal cities, inviting them to buy Judean slaves, in promising to deliver over 90 slaves for a talent. Little did he think of the rightful punishment which was to fall upon him from the Almighty. Now when Judah learned about Nicanor's advance and informed his companions about the approach of the army, the cowardly and those who lacked faith in God's righteousness deserted and got away. But the others sold everything they had left. But together they besought the Lord.
Rescue us, for the impious Nicanor, before even meeting us in battle, has sold us as slaves. And if not for our own sakes, instead, at least for the sake of the covenants which you made with our fathers, and because we ourselves bear your reverent and magnificent name.
Now when the Maccabee had gathered together his party, 6,000 strong, he exhorted them,
"Do not be struck with amazement before our enemies, nor be wary of the vast hordes of foreign nations which are unrighteously coming against us, but contend bravely. Keep before your eyes the lawless outrage perpetrated by them against the holy place and the torment of the derided city, but also the termination of our ancestral way of life. For indeed,
he said,
they trust in weapons and acts of daring, but we trust in the Almighty God, who can by a mere nod overthrow not only those who are coming against us, but the whole world.
Now he went on to tell them of the times when help had been given to their ancestors, both the time of Sennacherib, when 185,000 of his men were destroyed, in the time of the battle in Babylia against the Galatians, when only 8,000 Judeans fought along with 4,000 Macedonians. Yet, when the Macedonians were hard-pressed, the 8,000 destroyed 120,000 because of the help which came to them from heaven. And they took a great quantity of spoils. With such words, he encouraged them and made them ready to die for their laws and their fatherland. After this, Judah divided his army into four, and he placed his brothers, Simon, and Joseph, and Jonathan, each over a division, assigning 1,500 men to each. But there was also Ezra. After reading to them from the sacred book and giving them the watchword,
help of God,
he himself took lead of the first cohort, engaging with Nicanor. But with the Almighty as their ally, they slaughtered more than 9,000 of their enemies, wounded and crippled the greater part of Nicanor's army, but forced all of them to flee. But they seized the money of those who had come to buy them as slaves. But when they had pursued their enemies for some time, they were obliged to return by reason of the late hour. For it was the day before the Sabbath, and for that reason, they could not continue the pursuit. But after they had collected the weapons of their enemies and had stripped them of their spoils, they observed the Sabbath with fervent praise and confession to the Lord, who had saved them for that day, on which he let the first dew of his mercy descend upon them. Now after the Sabbath, they gave a share of the spoils to those who had been tormented, and to the widows and orphans. The rest they divided among themselves and their little ones. Now when this was done, they made supplication in common, imploring the merciful Lord to be completely reconciled with his servants. And they challenged the party of Timotheos and Bacchides, doing away with more than 20,000 of them, and taking possession of some very high strongholds. And they divided the enormous plunder, allotting half to themselves, and the rest to those who had been tormented, and to orphans, and to widows, but also to the elderly. But they collected their enemies' weapons, carefully storing them in strategic places. But the rest of the spoils, they carried to Jerusalem. But of the two Timotheoses, they killed the tribal chief, a most profane man, and one who had greatly harmed the Judeans. now while celebrating the victory in their fatherland. They burned both those who had set the sacred gates on fire from beneath and Kalisthenes, who had taken refuge in a little house. So he received the reward which his impiety deserved. Now the accursed Nicanor, who had brought the 1,000 merchants to buy the Judeans, was, through the Lord's help, humbled by those whom he had regarded as without account. Laying aside his splendid clothing, he fled alone, like a runaway slave, across the inland country until he reached Antioquia. He was eminently successful in the destruction of his own army. So the man who had promised to provide tribute for the Romans by the capture of the people of Jerusalem proclaimed that the Judeans had a champion and that they were invulnerable for the very reason that they followed the laws laid down beforehand by him. Now the Maccabee and his companions, with the Lord leading them on, indeed recovered the temple and the city. But they tore down the altars which had been erected by the foreigners in the marketplace, along with the sacred enclosures. And after purifying the inner sanctum, they made a new altar. Then, with fire struck from flint, they offered sacrifice for the first time in 2 years, and burned incense and kindled lamps and set out the showbread. Now when they had done this, they prostrated themselves and begged the Lord that they might never again fall into such evil, and that if they should sin at any time, he might chastise them with gentleness and not hand them over to reviling and barbarous nations. Now on the anniversary of the day on which the inner sanctum had been profaned by foreigners, that is, the 25th of the 9th month, Kislev, the purification of the inner sanctum took place. And the Judeans celebrated it joyfully for 8 days, as in the manner of the Festival of Booths, remembering how, a little while before, they had spent the Festival of Booths living like wild beasts in the mountains and in the caves. On this account, carrying rods entwined with leaves and green branches, but also palms, they offered hymns of grateful praise to him who had brought prosperity to the purifying of his own place. Now they decreed by common ordinance and vote that the whole Judean nation should celebrate these days every year.